see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman podcast.
Can you believe I'm actually keeping my promise on this? I can't, to be honest. But I can. Installment 3 of the Grateful Eight. 8 weeks of Friday night bonus episodes. Friday night, that's in American time. Of I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast. No plugs, no ads on these. Ooh. Just me and you. Responding to listener emails that... That could mean answering questions. That could mean anything. I have so many letters. I mean, I don't think I'm going to get to them. And there's like 50 pages here I printed out. That's when I printed them. So I like that sound. Okay. This is from Allison. She sent me a great article on David Bowie. Rest in peace. Oh, God. I feel the world. Oh, I just hate it. Also wanted to tell you that I totally noticed a difference in the quality of your voice. Far less fry tones and overall much more forward placement and smooth and aspirated onsets. Yay for voice therapy. Ooh, ooh. But a shout out without a glottal attack. It's hard to do ooh, ooh without a glottal attack. Ooh, ooh. I'm a singer who recovered from nodule surgery, laryngoscopy, yes, ooh, and lots of voice therapy. The issues never completely go away. No, they don't. But you have made amazing changes in your lifestyle that allowed you to heal without going through the miserable surgical process like I did. So awesome. Thank you, Allison. Sorry you had to have that surgery. If you ever want to write me back and describe it from, you know, what goes on, how long it takes, how long you're under, what it feels like when you wake up, could you not speak for a month or something? Feel free to write me back. iseemfun@gmail.com because I'm very fascinated with it. I'm very nervous about my voice going forward. I'm already starting to look at my calendars. It gets filled up and I'm filming certain projects and starting to ramp up to the press for my book tour. And then thinking, you know, when I do my book tour dates to not do too many nights in a row because it'll be a lot of talking. And I just did my vocal warm-ups before this podcast and I steamed my throat and it takes, you know, 20 extra minutes and it is kind of a pain, but you have to do it. And I'm planning what days to be in silence and it's a lot. I've got my humidifiers running 24/7 in the home. Okay. Hi, Jen. You can say my name. Kevin, 22 from Denver. You've mentioned going to Paris several times in the past. I'll be going on a family vacation in May 2016, and we're going to Europe for the first time. We're going to Barcelona, Marseille, France, Pisa, Florence, Rome, Naples. What? Well, fuck you! Greece, Heraklion, Rhodes, Izmir, Athens, Paris. Asshole, I'm so jealous. I've never been to any of these places except Paris. I'd love to go to Barcelona. I'd love to go to Italy. I'd love to go to Greece. I'm hoping this year I get to take a vacation like that. Kevin, so he said, if you have any advice or things to do or purchase in any or all places, I'd appreciate your help. Well, with Paris, it's like, I never know. I just wander around. I mean, you have to go to the cemetery Pierre Lachaise. I think I'm saying it right. But what I would do, Kevin, is go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/iseemfun. And in the episode description of this episode, episode 3 of The Grateful Eight, join in the comments section, jump on and say, hey guys, I'm Kevin, the one that Jen read the email from. Here are the places I'm going. Any recommendations? And you I Seem Funners, go to the facebook.com/I Seem Fun page and give Kevin some recommendations, because I don't know. But I like you guys to help each other. Love your comedy. I know, blah, blah. Just wanted to say it. You were great the last time you were in Dallas, and I won't ask you. I'll look up the next time you're here. Yes, I am. I'm obviously coming back to Dallas to do stand up. I won't be doing my book tour show in Dallas, at least not in the first round. Maybe when I do stand up in Dallas, I will obviously sign books after, but it won't be the book tour show. So, yeah. Okay. Hi, Jen. Did you get the chance to see Star Wars The Force Awakens yet? What? The chance? I don't like Star Wars. I really don't. And I don't want to hear, but no, it's really about... Anytime I'm like, I don't... Like, okay. If you put something... If you put my favorite food in a dirty bag, and then you put my favorite food in an aesthetically pleasing package that I could reuse or use as a little jar on my shelf, every time I would pick the aesthetically pleasing wrapped package jar. And if you said, but no, the ugly bag, it's the food you like. Okay, but I'm never going to, I don't want to see the ugly bag. Worst analogy ever. But I understand the themes in Star Wars are the themes of life. And it's very feminist and everyone this and that. I got it. But we only have so many days to go around this earth. And so I believe that what we are attracted to, we get our themes in the artistic places that speak to us, right? If I said, no, 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 why aren't you downloading the podcast about soup? No, 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 but there's stuff in it you would like. It's not just about soup. They talk about Star Wars. You'd be like, well, then I'll listen to the podcast about Star Wars. I don't want to get to Star Wars via soup. I don't want to get to the themes in Star Wars via watching something fantasy and about... It's not my thing. I'm so not a fantasy person. I didn't like... And scream at me if you want. I never got into Princess Bride growing up. I saw Star Wars when I was little and I kind of liked them, but... I was also a child, and I'm not saying Star Wars is childish, but I'm saying when I was a child, I hadn't rounded out my taste yet. Things hadn't developed into what I later became obsessed with. I will watch every movie no one likes. That's boring. It's just people talking. Listen to this podcast. No bells and whistles, no Ewoks. It's just not my thing. I've seen it in three times in the past 3 weeks, so I obviously loved it. But I would love to hear your spoilery thoughts on it. Unfortunately, it was one holiday release that had no Christmas-themed romance subplot. Yes. It's no Hallmark film. I'll tell you that. No, I didn't see it. And again, I'm not one of these people that doesn't like Star Wars but thinks it's stupid that people do. It just doesn't... It doesn't call to me. I didn't see Mad Max. I watched someone else watching it on a plane once, and I thought, I'm not even interested. But I really did see it when I was five, and I saw all three of them, Empire Strikes Back, all that stuff. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just not my thing. I'm sorry about that. I do understand that this Star Wars was the best of the most recent ones. I completely believe it. I've never seen Harry Potter. I've never seen Lord of the Rings, Hunger Games. Not my stuff. Okay. Okay, Emily wants to know, in a previous podcast, I talked about using a belt wallet to keep your essentials organized. I need that. I've Googled different things, but they all look like my mother's fanny pack. Any brand suggestions that may be a little more fashionable? Emily, it's tough. One of them, it looks like a cross between something really fashionable and your mother's fanny pack. Tumi, T-U-M-I, is a brand. You can look on their website. I bought one on Zappos, and then I went back, and it's not there. I also have a cool, like, faux leather one with gold zippers. That is, I got it at Topshop last year, but it's hard to find. You might want to Google the words fashionable fanny pack or belt bag, sometimes they call it, or hip or waist bag or something. But if you just put the words high fashion in it, it'll give you, I mean, they have like Louis Vuitton $1,000 ones, not that, but you'll get there because it's a really hard thing to find. And, the times I've gone looking for it, it's been a little bit of a rabbit hole of a search. The one at Topshop, I just walked in and saw it. And the Tumi one, I was looking for something else on their website, and I saw that and thought I should snatch this up. So I'm sorry I couldn't be more helpful, but I do believe it's all in the Googling. I don't know of a specific brand, though, that specializes in being super fashionable fanny packy. But they're out there. They're out there. Okay. Oh, what's this? This is my dream question. My arm is numb. All right. Oh, here's a different one. Just something I thought about a while. Hey, Jen. Just something I thought about a while back, and wished an I Seem Funner would do. What are your thoughts on someone creating an I Seem Fun public playlist on Spotify? Not volunteering myself to put it together. Why not? But I thought maybe there's a super dedicated listener out there with a little time on their hands who'd be willing to make a playlist with a bunch of songs you've played and/or sung in previous episodes. Maybe it's just me, but there have been a lot of episodes where you've reminded me of a great song that I haven't listened to in a while, and I end up adding it to whatever I'm listening to that week. I'm about to be in my busy time of year in public accounting and could really use another playlist with some good 80s rock to add to the mix while I'm doing some late night auditing. Ooh-ooh. Making it collaborative so that anyone could add songs could be really fun, but that would require a great deal of musical trust in the I Seem Fun community. I'll stop procrastinating now and get back to work. Bess. Bess, I think that's a great idea. I am an idiot with Spotify. I have it, but I just don't feel like it. But when I used to do live I Seem Fun episodes, which I did a few out of state, my pre-show playlist was always and only songs that I had played on the podcast. And I was very proud of myself, and I would always hope that people noticed that. And I do not have, and that playlist was just on an iTunes playlist, and I don't have that anymore. So I would have shared that if I did. So yeah, maybe someone can do that. I know a lot of people are starting I Seem Fun backwards, and they go back and listen to old ones. So I don't know, maybe that could be a fun... It could be a fun project if anyone wants to do it. If any I Seem Funners do end up doing it, email me, iseemfun@gmail.com, and I'll announce it. Or you can go to the Facebook fan page of I Seem Fun, which is facebook.com/iseemfun. And in the comment section for this episode, you can mention if you've done it. It's a great idea. All right, kids. This is boring. Of course it is. I know. All right. This is great. Tom. I didn't even know if he said I could say his name, but I'm saying it. I just wanted to get your opinion on a little bit of male fashion. I'm a 27-year-old guy who has been balding since about 19 or 20. I also feel like I have what I feel like is a terrible jawline. I know there's a lot of people who think a baseball cap and a beard look douchey. I wear a black hat that was for the staff of the theater I worked for in college and a short beard to try to do the best I can with these two things. My question is there anything you think I could be doing that doesn't make me look like a douchey white guy in a baseball cap and a beard to deal with my bald head and crappy jawline? I do have my head shaved down, but not like razor skinhead type shaved down. Okay. First, let's address that I thank you for reaching out. Secondly, I totally know what you mean by you have a crappy jawline. I mean, I don't know exactly what you mean. I don't know if you think that you have jowls. Do you think your jawline? Do you think you're fat? Do you think you don't have a chin? I don't really know exactly. What I'm going to tell you is this. We're going to deal with this in two parts. Thank you for that your beard is trimmed and that it's nothing you could stroke and have excess hair. If it's truly trimmed, okay. I'm just talking about what I find aesthetically pleasing. But I would say this. Do you have any friends in your life that are women that would be honest with you if you said, what do you think of my jawline? Do I really need this beard? Because even if your jawline isn't chiseled perfect, it might not be as bad as you think, in the sense that some women might want to feel your smooth face more than look at what seems to be a beard that's supposed to be creating a jawline. I don't even know if I believe that beards create jawlines. I feel like it just looks like you have hair on top of the thing you don't like. I think that might be in guys' heads. So now the guy with little hair on top and beard can sometimes be a good look, like your eye sees hair on the skull and is like, okay, that works. But I know balding sucks, and I would hate, I think I personally, if I were a man, would not do well with being bald. I enjoy some hair on my head. However, if you have a good head, and you might, because I don't know if, God don't make no mistakes. You know, if he's taking your hair away, act like there's a God who's making people bald. But you know what I mean? If Mother Nature is making you bald, then there is a chance that you have a good head and you might want to shave it like razor skinhead shave down, shoe polish head. Maybe you don't. I know it's a lot of effort. Here's my thing with the hat. Baseball hats just, they do make you look like a douchey white guy. Or a douchey any color guy. The baseball hat and beard is such a look. You just can't do it. You have to. To me, if I see a man, and I don't know if you're gay or straight, I guess it doesn't matter, but if you're straight, I'm just going to speak as a woman. If I see a guy with a baseball hat on, I know it creates like you're having hair. But then you take it off and you're like, oh, he's bald. Just live out loud bald, because you don't want to. I mean, if people are into a guy with hair, they will be disappointed when you take the hat off. The hat is annoying. They get dirty. I just picture dirt when I see guys with baseball hats on. No woman likes this look. Nobody. And I know you don't have to do things for women, but it's just not a good look. There's other kinds of hats you can buy, but I don't think you need to be, you know, those hats, they're not, almost like a newsboy cap. Like they have a little bit of a brim, but they're kind of like an Irish looking thing, but it's not a beret. Do you know what kind of like a cap? I think those are cool. And that could be your thing. If you had like cool ones and, you know, maybe you have a corduroy one or one in a certain color and you wear like four rotating ones. I mean, four that you have in your rotation, not four on your head that are rotating. That would certainly distract from your baldness if that's what you're trying to do. Hey, ladies, I got four hats on my head that spin around. But anyway, women don't really care about balding. I mean, it might not be on our list of things we desire, but trust me, men are so, they're just getting more ridiculous. that we're like, fine, who cares? Are you bald? Fine. Can you emotionally connect? That's all we care about. That's not all we care about. But I'm telling you, if you have, there's just not, just be a bald guy. You're bald. Take the damn hat off. I would so much rather see a bald head than the fucking hat. That's my fashion advice. The second thing is, you seem to be doing two things to create illusions. Hat on the head creates something on top of the head that mimics hair. The beard, you're giving yourself this jawline you think you're giving. Go smooth. Go live out loud. Shave everything. Shave the beard. Take the hat off. Stop hiding. Stop creating false angles and stop hiding. You know, women sense that too. The one thing we don't like is, you know, women are really, 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 again, I don't know why I'm acting like your whole goal in life is to be dating a woman. You might even have a girlfriend, but I'm just saying, if anyone's listening out there, women are attracted to a kind of confidence. Now, not too much confidence where we're like, that guy's a creepy player, and not such a lack of self-esteem that we're like, we're going to rescue him like a bird. But it's sort of this middle ground where it's like, sure, you can be self-deprecating. So take off the hat and trade it for some jokes about how you're balding. You know what I mean? Be self-deprecating about it. If you want to be like, I don't like it either, then use your words. But honest to God, the hat thing is just a turnoff. And it also looks like, that was my whole point, it also looks like a guy is insecure when he's wearing a hat. He's saying, I don't like my head. I don't like the way I look bald, and I'm insecure about it. We don't like insecurity. It's, you know, it, don't do that. Cause then we worry, oh, if he's insecure, is he going to just be the kind of guy that doesn't think he can do any better than me. But then, you know, is that why he's with me? Because he'd really be with a model if he wasn't bald. I mean, it just, own it. Own it. There's so many examples of guys with no hair out there that I say take the hat off. Unless you are on a baseball team, take the hat off. And you said it's a black hat that was for the staff of the theater you worked for in college. You're 27. That's the hat's at least 6 years old. Get the fucking hat off your head. You're not working at the theater in college. You're almost a grown man. Kurt Cobain was dead. Jimi Hendrix was dead by age 27. And you're still wearing a hat from college? Man, no. Man. Just disqualified myself from giving any advice. All right. Why am I wheezing? Do you ever take a pill and it goes down the wrong way, but you're not choking? And then 3 hours later, I always think, well, what if I am choking? What if it went down my tubes and it's coming back up the wrong way? Like, can you choke later? I don't think you can. All right. All right. I don't know why. All right, here's something from someone. I never know what to write when addressing people via email, so I'm just going to jump right into this shindig. About 2 years ago, I sent you an anonymous message on Tumblr, basically saying, hey, I'm a depressed and anxious teenager who frequently falls into a giant pit of despair. Thanks for your comedy. Anyway, I just wanted to say that your message gave me some hope and helped me look further into my future at a time when I was dead set on destroying it. Aw, I'm now 19 years old and about to start my sophomore year in college and actually planned on transferring to Emerson next year for either journalism or film, which I'm now realizing might sound a bit stalkerish, but you should definitely ignore that. Thanks for all you do and stay cool. Well, thank you. Sarah is your name. I don't know what I said. You provided a link, but I didn't open it. But it's not star. I went to Emerson so long ago. It's not even like the same college. Journalism or film sounds great. And that's it. All right. Well, good. I'm glad you feel a little better. I mean, I hate to be this person because, you know, depression is not age group specific, but our perspective on things certainly is, right? And the younger we are, the more hopeless it all seems because we haven't had enough experience. We haven't been on the planet enough days to say, oh, well, I remember that one time I felt, but believe me, when I get caught up in my feelings, even if they're feelings I've felt before, if it's applied to a new person or new situation, I'm like, I'll never feel better. Even though my brain goes, yeah, remember you said that about the last time you're in this predicament, you'll feel better. No, I think this time I won't. So, I mean, you at least get to have that argument in your head though, as you get older, which you don't get to have when you're younger, because if it's, you know, a lot of firsts are happening, and it's hard to understand. But, I think reaching out to people is always good. I always encourage reach out to people you know as well. Okay. Derek says, when I see other people, this is something that he finds fun that other people don't. When I see other people looking at their phones and smiling or cracking up, because it means they're escaping from their physical environment for just a moment and enjoying their time. I do that sometimes myself when I'm working. Well, that's nice. Usually people are like, everyone's looking at their phones. Have you seen that picture? I mean, I know it's like cheesy going around the internet humor, but there's a photo that says everyone's on their damn phones all the time. Not like it used to be or something like that. And then it's a picture of an old timey train and everyone's on it with their newspaper up in front of their face. And I don't know if it's photoshopped in or that's a real photo or I don't know, but I like it. On a side note, I was wondering if the first 10 or so episodes of your podcast are deliberately not there to listen to. No, that's not true. I don't do the tech part, so I don't know. And I'm just, I couldn't be bothered to know. I know that I asked my producer if, I think on iTunes, they just, you can only have a certain amount on there and then they keep, you know, going up. So it was like 1 to 100 and then you get over 100 and then it's like they drop the first 10. I think everything should be on SoundCloud from the beginning. I'm not positive. I guess I could find out. Hang on, let me make a note.
Let me make a fucking note.
I'm just going to put this note in my notes section on my phone right now. The torture. Ask if any place has all I Seem Fun episodes. All right, I'll do that, and then when I get the answer, I'll announce it on a future I Seem Fun. Okay. Ella. Hey, Jen. I'm not going to compliment you. That's right. Okay. I turned 19 last month, and I'm in my first year of university. You must be from not America. I moved out of home this year, too. I was wondering if you have any advice for people moving out of home and starting a sort of adult life. Could you just talk about what your life was like when you first moved out? Love you, girl, Ella. It's weird. I forgot I had an apartment my junior year of college. So that was, you know, I was 20. I got an apartment instead of living in the dorms. And that's so weird. I just had I guess it was a nightmare, but it was a dream that I was back in college and it was in Boston. And I remember thinking, this is, you know, I wanted to be there. And it was not back at my old college. It was like a whole new thing. And somebody said to me, you have to sign up for a dorm. I know I'm boring myself with this story. You have to sign up for a dorm room by the end of the day. And I thought, well, I don't know how I got here. I only have 6 hours to decide. And there was one dorm room left and I would have two roommates. It would be a rather large room, but it was a room. And I thought, well, I could live with my parents because they're close to Boston, but God, I am 41 and I don't know what happened to my apartment. Didn't I have an apartment somewhere? And I couldn't remember that I lived in LA. And I thought, well, I think I have money in my bank. Let me check my bank account. And I was like, oh yeah, I can get an apartment in Boston. Where do I live? Why don't I live anywhere? But it was like the way you would go, where's my sock? It was so casual. Like, yeah, I don't live anywhere. I just plopped into this reality. But I guess, well, I'll have to get an apartment. And so I don't remember. The dream was just me running around. I kept getting lost. I kept having to run back to the sign-up sheet to tell them I definitely don't need the dorm room because I'm going to live with my parents until I find an apartment. And then in the dream, it was just me running down these long corridors. I couldn't find the original sign-up sheet place. Not that it mattered, because they were like, if you don't come back within 6 hours, we're going to give your spot to someone else. So zero consequence, but I was still running around not knowing where I was going. What does that dream mean? So Ella, I don't know. I mean, here, I'll just tell you what it was like for me when I first moved out, because it was still part of the college expense. My mom and dad paid my rent, which I think was like $250 a month at that point. And I lived in Beacon Hill, Boston, which is really nice, but now it would not be only $250 a month. And I had two other roommates. And I don't know. I would give you this advice. If you ever live in an apartment and you always be the person that takes the smaller bedroom and pays less rent, just don't throw a ton of money into rent right away. The other thing, I don't know if you're living alone or if you're living in a dorm. I wish I knew. Wash and change your sheets, pillowcases too, once a week. No less. Hot, hot water. I don't know what else advice. Don't put things on credit cards that shouldn't be on credit cards, like bills or groceries. And apologies to people out there who are struggling financially. If you're like, I do that, you stupid bitch. But I just mean, don't start your life that way. Always have a prudent reserve if you can, which is like a savings. If the most you can do at this point in your life is have 1 month, always be 1 month ahead if you can in your bills. Susie Orman says be 8 months ahead, but I'm just telling you, like, starting out. If you save $2 a week, you'll have $104 saved by the end of the year. And by the time you're 30, that'll be almost $1,000, and you can put it in like a retirement fund and start from there. Just little things like that. $5 a week. I would, I don't know, get a can of bug spray. Learn how to kill bugs. You might see some. If you live in an apartment, and you don't have one of those chain locks on your door, front door, always pay a locksmith to come and add that on. What else? Always write thank you letters, not emails. I mean, you know, if you had a job interview or you had a gift from someone, get a little 12-pack of thank you notes and write personalized thank you notes for things like that. Always have stamps. I mean, are these really things I'm saying? Go to the grocery store 2 to 3 times a week instead of buying a bunch of shit at once and then letting it rot in your refrigerator because you end up crazy busy that week. And, oh no, I didn't have, I mean, but I don't know if you have an apartment or you're in the dorm. If you're in dorm living, God, I don't even know. It's been so long. Get a lamp. Don't use overhead lighting. I mean, people who use overhead lighting, I think, are psychotic. What else? God, I can't think of anything. Don't leave candles burning. Don't forget. always use the fan when you're in the shower. You know, the vent, the fan, the thing. Or you'll get mold in your walls. I don't know. What kind of advice do you want? All right, so I'll just talk about what my life was like when I first moved out. Well, that was that. I was in a dorm and every need was met. And I just lived in a room with two other people, which was totally weird. Totally weird. Still friends with my first college roommate, Liz. This other girl, Jessica, we lived with. I don't know where she went. But it was fun. But then when I got my first apartment after college, so then my senior year, my junior year, I lived with my friends Jackie and Alicia. And then my senior year, I moved in with my friends Tim and his friend Eric, not Tim and Eric, the comedians. And I wrote about that in my first book. I can barely take care of myself. My mom let me have two guy roommates. It was like reverse threes company. I actually can't believe she let me do that now that I think back on it. But I mean, they weren't boyfriends or anything. So, but that was a gorgeous apartment. And just be clean. Don't be a dirty pig. Wipe up after yourself. We were all clean freaks, which was great. And I loved living in that apartment. I never saw a bug. There was a bat in it once. That was not great. It came in. We had a fireplace. It must have come in through the chimney. But I don't know. I mean, all I know is I got myself into debt really quickly by taking out every credit card you could fucking get and putting everything on it and just thinking I'll deal with it later. And then partly going, I don't even think I have to deal with it. If I just don't pay, what are they going to do? Well, what they're going to do is tack on interest. You'll be broke just paying off interest. And eventually, if you stop paying, they'll stand on your front lawn with a summons and you will be fucked and they can liquidate your bank account. But, and I'm talking from experience in my 20s. I was a moron with money. So I don't know. That's what life was like for me moving out. I fucking loved it. I had really strict parents when I was growing up and I was not allowed to do anything. I wasn't really allowed to talk on the phone when I wanted to. I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend. I wasn't allowed to get a car. I was allowed to drive there sometimes. I wasn't allowed to stay out past 11 at night. I wasn't allowed to go out on weeknights. I wasn't allowed to go out after school and socialize. I mean, it was like everything I did, I had to sneak around. And just to sneak around to do the basic things that weren't even like bad things. And so finally getting freedom was really exciting. But on the other hand, I had really good organizational and time management skills and was a neat freak. So, I mean, that's what I got out of having such a strict upbringing, but it's really fun. And get a can of mace, get some stuff to have just that makes you feel safe. Keep some mace by the bed, keep some by the door. I'm totally serious. If you have, this is what we used to do. If you have one of those old-fashioned radiators, or radiators as the Brits call them, you know those metal ones? If you put a pot of filled with water on it, you know the ones you can't control because like somehow the landlord does and your building does? You put a big pot of water on it, it kind of acts as a humidifier and helps take some of the dryness out of that heat that's always coming out. This is like old people advice. They're like from the 1800s when I had my first apartment. I hope that's at all helpful. It's probably not. Good luck to you, Ella. Okay. This is a long one from this gentleman named Dave. But I think he's going to need our help. It's a unique question, it seems like. Hi, Jen. It's Friday night and I have absolutely no one to talk to. Okay. I should be writing my personal statement essay thingy for grad school, yet all I can think about is this memory from my childhood. Well, I wonder if you could use this in your grad school thing. Probably not. When I was in first grade, my parents enrolled me and my siblings in swimming lessons for the summer. My father was working his way up the corporate ladder at the time, and one of the perks was a membership to a local country club. This perk lasted about 3 years. It was my first and very brief exposure to such upper-class living. Oh my God, I remember. There was the Pool and Racquet Club in Needham, Massachusetts, and the rich girls went there, and the swimming, the tennis clubs, and I was like, oh my God. I mean, I grew up on a golf course, but it was a working-class nine-hole golf course with no pool, no, you know, it wasn't like that. And I was just like, how do I behave at the Pool and Racquet Club? Because one of my rich girlfriends would take me, and I would just be like, oh. I didn't understand the concept of you could bring a guest. I was like, am I going to get kicked out? Okay. Back to Dave's letter. I hated those weekly swim lessons. My instructor was a beautiful, stunning young woman that always gave me a hard time. I was a timidly terrible swimmer and most definitely the worst in our little swim class of 8 to 10 kids. I have memories of her trying to get me to float on my back in this large swimming pool. She would help support me on top of the water until I was in the proper back float position. As soon as she'd let go, I would start to sink. And every time she'd say, this is unacceptable, Dave, unacceptable. I couldn't help that my little first grade ass couldn't float in the damn water. But apparently all the other kids could float just fine. I was at the bottom of the class. On the last day of summer lessons, my instructor thought it would be fun for us kids to jump off one of the higher sized diving boards at the deep end of the pool. It was our final trial and probably a good way to boost confidence. We had never been in the deep end before during class, nor had we jumped off the diving board. Knowing that I was an awful swimmer and feeling terrified of the deep end, I thought this idea of hers was completely ludicrous. I remember walking out to the edge of that board very slowly. It was a beautiful day and the sun was shining down on that sparkly blue water where my gorgeous instructor held her arms out to me saying, jump, come on, Dave, I got you, jump. I couldn't have dreamed of a more inviting scenario for me to jump. It was every straight man's fantasy to have this breathtaking woman in her bathing suit calling out my name to join her in the water. I stood there staring down at her with a silent anxiety. Everyone around the pool was watching and cheering for me to jump. I finally snapped out of my gaze, shook my head, and had sort of a fuck this shit type moment. I didn't jump. I turned around and walked back to the safety of solid concrete. After all the other kids jumped, our class was taken to the club concession stand for a rewarding treat. My instructor pulled me aside and said that I was the only one in the class that would not be getting a treat that afternoon because I didn't jump and because I was the only one that didn't pass the swimming class. I sat there alone on a bench with my towel at my side waiting for my mother to pick me up while all the other kids chatted and ate their candy bar treats with pride. I should probably be in therapy. I was actually going to say something. And I bet this episode from my childhood had some impact on my psyche or confidence while growing up. If I'm not mistaken, I recall you mentioned having an interest in psychology in one of the Funcast episodes. Did I do a good thing by not jumping off that board? Or do I need a new diving board to finally make that jump? Any thoughts? Well, you've mentioned how attractive this woman is so many times that I don't know if you have ended up having an issue with attractive women. And, you know, memory is subjective. I have this memory of going to a birthday party for this girl. It was a roller skating party. And I remember sitting alone on a bench to have yourself a Merry Little Christmas while that was playing because her birthday was around Christmas. And in my memory, the reason I was sitting alone was because the DJ said couples skate only. And even though it wasn't like a, it was just an all girl party. It wasn't like a hookup thing. Not that girls could, but you know what I mean? We were 7 years old. As far as we knew, they weren't trying to foster relationships. It was just like, grab a hand of your friend. And there was an odd amount of people and I just had to sit on the bench. Now, I don't know if that memory is true. I could have had a blister and then remembered, have yourself a merry little Christmas. But all I know is I hate that song now. If it's indeed true that she said, you can't have a treat. And it wasn't that she was fucking with you and said, are you sure you deserve one? Ha ha. And then you felt like you didn't take one. Then there's something going on there. You're going to have some issues with women. The thing is, I don't think that incident is the inciting incident. There was already some relationship with women before that, that this exacerbated and made you think this is what the world is like. I've had evidence that it's like this at home and now it's validated. So I've never dove off a diving board. I also had problems. So sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, as they say in psychology. And I always had problems swimming. I have to hold my nose. I don't like breathing in the water. I get confused. I breathe in instead of out. I know how to do it. I just, my body doesn't want to do it. It's a huge trust thing. I don't like it. And so for me, I gave up halfway through swimming lessons as well and was like, fuck this shit. And I have no regrets about it. It doesn't haunt me. I don't remember anyone being mean. If they were, they can go fuck themselves. I do jump off diving boards if I'm doing a cannonball or something, but I hold my nose and I pray every time that I didn't drop so far that I can't get back up to the surface in time. I know most swimming pools are only like 7 feet. So I think it would be fun for you to take a therapy session or two. Sure. Because you have no idea what the person's going to find. You go in thinking, oh, it's going to be like this. And you're totally wrong in a good way. But when you said, you know, I couldn't have dreamed of a more inviting scenario. It's every straight man's fantasy to have a beautiful, you know, breathtaking woman in her bathing suit calling your name to jump in the water. Is it though? I mean, I know you didn't want to jump because you weren't a good swimmer and you lacked confidence, but the added pressure of a beautiful woman waiting for you in the pool is like prepubescent pressure to get it up. Like, to fail in front of her would have probably been so scarring for you. Whereas if it was like an 18-year-old surfer dude that was like, hey, little man, jump, bro, it's going to be fun, you probably would have jumped. So for you to beat yourself up and go, I can't believe I didn't surrender to every straight man's fantasy back then of jumping into a pool while a beautiful woman calls my name. That's why you didn't. And this is really about some weird manhood relationship to women thing and not at all about swimming. I don't mean weird in a derogatory way. But I think there's two things going on here. You weren't a good swimmer. That's not your calling. Who cares, right? And then another thing was, there was some, if you realized you were attracted to this woman, then that was some kind of issue coming up about your self-worth and dating and women and blah, 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 and fantasy and reality. And so there's two things happening at these swimming lessons. And the big one that you need to make a jump with is figuring out your issues with women and go to therapy. I don't mean you're a sexist asshole or anything. I just mean you have issues, it sounds like, with confidence and women and shaming and guilt. There's a lot of stuff coming up in this email. What is wrong with me? Where do I get the audacity to speak this way to people? Okay. Hey, queen. Oh, that's nice. I love thunderstorms. My dog does not think they are fun. She's 12, and every time it storms, she freaks the fuck out and has a panic attack. We've tried everything from doggy Xanax, thunder blankets. What's a thunder blanket? I want one. What's a thunder blanket? Hang on a minute. Right, we tried everything from doggy Xanax, thunder blankets, etc. I wondered if while she was freaking out in the bathroom, while she hid in the shower, her safety spot, hearing a human voice would help. I played your podcast. She chilled out within 3 minutes and I slept through the night. Thanks, Ben. Yay, that's the best. You guys, sit in a bathtub, sit in the shower, hide in the shower and play my podcast. I am soothing to dogs. It's a soothing only dogs understand. Thunder blanket. I'm looking up thunder blanket for humans. What is it? Thunder jacket? Thunder shirts? Oh, they're the weighted things. Oh, yeah. It's for anxiety. And that was what that woman, Temple Grandin, did for autism. It's so funny because I have this giant, like really thick, you know, you're in an igloo duvet cover and duvet or whatever. And I used to have a different one and I got this even thicker bigger one. And I remember thinking, I just love that feeling of like something weighted on me when I'm sleeping. It's so relaxing. And I think that must be my inherent, proclivity towards anxiety disorders. Oh, that's so cool. I'm just looking this up. I'm just going to read askmetafilter.com. I keep seeing commercials for the Thunder Shirt, which is supposed to be like a hug for anxious animals. Does something like this work for people? I'm looking for ways to deal with anxiety, and I wonder if there's a Thunder Shirt for people that works along the same principles. I've heard there's vests like this for autistic children, but what about adults who need to go on about their day without trying anything too obstructive on? Pink Moose wrote, well, often autistics who have anxiety attacks find that weighted blankets work. I wonder if this might be useful. Someone else wrote, Temple Grandin invented a hug machine for herself. That could be worth Googling. The guy wrote back, yeah, the Temple Grandin link is truly awesome, but not great for my purposes. I know you're not going to bring your hug machine to work. Well, someone else, swaddling a baby is supposed to make it stop crying, so I think there might be something to that theory. I'm not sure there's a product out there, but it seems to be a fairly accepted belief that a little bit of a squeeze can relieve anxiety. Oh my God, I want a thunder blanket. All right, well, good. I'm glad I know what that's called now. I can't believe I didn't. I can't imagine that would make a dog feel good. It might make them feel like they're trapped and then they're hearing this thunder. Like our brains understand. What do I know? Thunder jacket, thunder blanket for people. Oh, I see now. I'm looking it up, the picture on the dog. Oh, that's cute. Now I'm just reading. Is this a good podcast? I'm just reading. All right. Well, anyway, I'm glad that I am so soothing. I'm so glad I'm better than a thunder jacket for your dog. Oh, this is a cute one on a cat. Oh, anxiety. Anxiety's so terrible, right? All right. Well, I guess that's it. I can't find any shorter questions to get into. So that's your bonus. I love you all. Until the regular episode, have fun.